Welcome again. We have Romy Dye is now going to be our recorder, is that correct?
Yes.
Very good. Welcome, and thank you very much for being here. We appreciate it very much. And of course, Dennis Dodson, who is our committee administrator, and appreciate the other senators for being here. We will open up a public hearing on Senate Bill 34, and we have some witnesses here. Ruth?
Simons,
okay. Very good. And Susan, you're coming up also.
Just for a moment.
Okay.
And this is Susan Gravy, Public Affairs, Oregon State Department. And I have...
Sir, do you want me to just...
We'll have Dennis give sort of a brief summary of what the bill is and what we're talking about here.
Basically, this Senate Bill 34 that exempts specified persons who may be engaged in professional real estate activity from requirement to obtain real estate licenses. Added to the list of those exempted from licensing are a person acting as a paid trustee whose real estate activity is limited to negotiating or closing a transaction to obtain the services of a real estate licensee. Further additions include an heir, family member, or other recipient of real property from a will who does not receive or expect to receive compensation for disposition of real property of the decedent. There's no revenue impact and no expenditure impact.
Okay, thank you, Dennis. Ruth, would you just introduce yourself and for the record and tell us what you do and proceed with your testimony.
Chair Nelson and members of the committee, my name is Ruth Simonis. I am an attorney. I practice law in the Beaverton Loa area, and I co-chair the legislative section of the Oregon Elder Law section. And the reason I'm here today is to give you proposed changes to that which you have in front of you in draft form. I have been working in collaboration with the Oregon Real Estate Agency to come up with mutually agreeable language that protects the agency as well as our clientele. The inadvertent effect of the bill that was passed 2001 was the fact that it now has an impact on a lot of my family members who are acting as caregivers for their spouse, loved one, child, requiring them to a heightened degree of accountability with the licensing requirement for it to be recorded and then have to list all of the real property, and that there could be no compensation. Well, as you might be aware, anytime you deal with a parent or child, there are normal things that come out of that caregiving relationship that could be deemed compensation or misunderstood to be that. As well as there are a significant number of people who have already done extensive estate planning prior to any period of incapacity that now does not have the option of going back and executing a new power of attorney. So what our attempt was to carve out a section, an exemption, that related to this familial type relationships that say, basically, if you're a parent, child, grandchild of a principal or a spouse of a principal, we're not going to hold you to the standard that you can never use that power of attorney if it doesn't have the real property listed, or if by chance you happen to receive a gift from your parent, you're not then bound by the professional real estate activity and violation for, you know, obtaining funds inappropriately. So that was our agenda, and we've been working together to try, I say, to wordsmith that in such a way that we've carved out that exception for those family caregiving relationships. So what you see before you in draft amendment, -1 amendment, what I submitted to you today, is the mutual agreement between myself and Brian DeMarco of the real estate agency. We've come up to it basically carves out that exception.
Does anyone have any questions at this point for the committee? Susan, you want to say anything? Brian, why don't you come on up and introduce yourself and for the record. And
Mr. Chair, Madam Vice Chair, members of the committee, my name is Brian DeMarco. I'm with the Oregon Real Estate Agency, Manager for Land Development and Policy Coordination. The agency has no objection to the original bill nor to the amendment as proposed and in front of you here. We worked closely with Ms. Simonez to wordsmith the appropriate language. We had initial concern that a loophole that was closed in the 2001 session would have been reopened with some tinkering to the bill, but we've assuaged that concern and we're satisfied at this point. And if you have any questions, I'll feel free to ask them.
Any questions? Okay, well, we appreciate your coming down and testifying. With this amendment, what my plan would be is just to close the public hearing, not go into a work session, get it into proper form, make sure that everything's in good shape, and then just move on from there. So you're all in agreement now. You're feeling good about this. We just get this amendment in its proper form.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Any further questions? Anything on that? So we will close the public hearing, but we will not go into a work session at this time.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Close the public hearing on House Bill. Well, just before we do that, is anybody else that wants to testify? Better make sure that is. So no one's here. If seen no one, we will then therefore close the public hearing on House or Senate Bill 34. Thank you very much for coming down.
Thank you.
We'll be in touch with you and let you know when we can this thing all straightened out and
thank
get
you.
It in the proper form and go forward.
Sure.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Now we'll go into a series of bills starting with Senate Bill 148 going through 152, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
152 concerning the Accountancy Board and Carol and Alan, if you'd like to come up, and we'll open up the public hearing and on Senate Bill 148. And if you could please introduce yourselves for the record.
I'm Alan Steiger. I am a CPA. I'm chairman of the Oregon Board of Accountancy. I'm the chief financial officer for ADEC in Newburgh, Oregon, and I reside in Washington County.
Okay.
My name is Carol Rees. I'm the administrator for the Board of Accountancy. If you wish, I can give you some introductory remarks about the board.
Right, Dennis, just start off with a quick,
all right.
Quick thing, and you can start. Go ahead, Dennis.
Senate Bill 148 is introduced by the Oregon Board of Accountancy. It removes obsolete and unnecessary statutory language that allows members of the Peer Review Committee to receive compensation for services performed. There's no revenue impact and no expenditure impact.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Madam Vice Chair, and Senator Metzger. Mr. Steiger will be giving testimony on each of the bills. I will assist in answering any questions you may have.
Okay.
But we'll defer to Mr. Steiger.
Mr. Chair, Madam Vice Chair, Senator Metzger. Senate Bill 148 relates to the Peer Review Committee. The Board of Accountancy has four standing committees, of which the Peer Review Committee is just one. These committees are comprised of volunteer members, and each committee meets approximately six times per year. Committee members do not receive per diem compensation for their services, with one exception. ORS 673-455 allows members of the Peer Review Committee to receive per diem compensation because of additional responsibilities that were assigned to that committee. They actually performed the peer reviews required by the board. However, in 1995, we privatized that function, and the Peer Review Committee now functions as an oversight committee. The purpose of Senate Bill 148 is to remove the obsolete and unnecessary language from the statute and to reflect the actual practice of the board at this time.
Thank you. Any questions on the witnesses? Any other persons who wish to testify on this bill? Any comments? My intent would be to move into a work session if there's any. We'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 148 and Chair would move that we pass. If there's any further comment, the chair would move that we recommend that Senate Bill 148 be forwarded to the floor of the Senate under the consent agenda as defined by Senate rules. And I think that's the proper form that I have to put that motion in.
Sounds good to me. I'm making notes.
Yeah, actually, Mr. Chair, I think you have to take a vote on the bill first, yeah. And then take a vote on consent.
Well, I would move that it be moved with that.
Okay.
With the idea that the consent agenda be.
Okay, that sounds good to me.
Okay, so the motion is before the committee to move Senate Bill 148 to the floor of the Senate under the consent agenda rule of the Senate. So I don't know whether this, maybe we should just take a roll call vote just for practice to make sure that we do this right. A lot of times I just do it, if nobody has an objection, I just say it's passed unanimously. But we have this consent thing until we figure out what's going on, we better do a roll call vote. So.
Senator Byer? Senator
Metzger?
Aye.
Vice Chair Walker?
Aye.
Chair Nelson?
Aye. And let the record reflect that Senator Byer is excused from the committee. So the Senate Bill 148 has received unanimous approval of the committee members present. It is forwarded to the Senate floor under the consent agenda.
Mr. Chair, under the new rules, we do it differently. Did it differently in the House. The reading clerk just presented the bill, but in the Senate, the Secretary of the Senate would prefer that you assign a carrier for the bill to read the bill.
Yes, she is doing that. Okay, I thought they were just going to do it the way they did in the House.
Yeah, they don't. She doesn't want to do that. So that was new rules that we got this morning on our floor desk. So you need to assign a carrier to just present the bill.
So I can carry. I'll carry the first bill. How's
okay.
That sound? So.
Sounds great.
All right. We'll open the public hearing on Senate Bill 149. Dennis, you want to summary of that?
Senate Bill 149, presented by the Oregon Board of Accountancy. It removes statutory reference to retirement as a condition for an active license status with no revenue impact nor expenditure impact.
Okay. Please introduce yourself again for the record.
Alan Steiger, Chair, Oregon Board of Accountancy.
Carol,
I don't speak, I won't.
Mr. Chairman, Madam Vice Chair, Senator Metzger. A certified public accountant or a public accountant which is licensed by the Board of Accountancy may elect to have an inactive license if they are not actively involved in the practice of public accountancy. Primary differences: the license fee for an inactive status is less expensive. Licensees who are inactive may not hold themselves out to the public as practicing public accountancy. And inactive licensees are not required to complete continuing professional education until such time as they wish their license to revert back to an active status. ORS 673.220 includes a reference to the word retired as a condition for inactive status. The Board of Accountancy has not required that a licensee be retired in order to choose inactive status. A licensee may be employed in an accounting capacity in private industry or may be involved in employment other than in the accounting field. These individuals are not retired and may apply for inactive status. The purpose of Senate Bill 149 is to provide uniformity between ORS 673-220 and corresponding administrative rules.
Any questions of the witness? Anybody else wish to testify on this matter? I'll declare the public hearing on Senate Bill 149 closed. Open up the work session on Senate Bill 149. Any comments on the witness or the testimony is presented?
Great idea.
Okay.
The bill should pass.
Okay. The chair then would move that Senate Bill 149 be passed to the floor of the Senate under the consent. Well, under the consent agenda, if we do. Have a unanimous vote. Clerk, call the roll.
Senator Byer?
This is on. I'll sit down here for a second. Let's hold up for a second. This is on. Alan, would you like to explain to Senator Byer what this is again?
Senator Byer, this is Senate Bill 149, which is relative to inactive licensee status for certified public accountants and PAs. ORS 673-220 currently contains the word retired in order to be to apply for inactive status. That is not the way that the Board of Accountancy has applied it. As long as they're not holding out in the art of, in the, as a public accountant, then we've allowed an individual, a licensee, to go inactive. So what we're asking is that we eliminate the word retired from the ORS and allow us to continue what we've been doing.
So we're conforming statute to practice instead of having them practice what statute says.
Mr. Chairman, if I may.
Administrative rule.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Beyer, we have individuals who go into industry or who leave the field of accountancy. It's less expensive for them if their license is in inactive status, and that certainly they cannot hold out in the practice of public accountancy. And they do not have to submit to continuing professional education until such time as they wish their license to become active again.
So. We're in work session. Senator Beyer registers an aye.
Senator Metzger?
Aye.
Vice Chair Walker?
Aye.
Chair
Nelson? Aye.
Motion is passed. Senator Walker, you want to carry this one?
Sure.
Okay. So we have declared that Senate Bill 149 is passed
on the consent calendar.
On a consent calendar, with Senator Walker carrying the bill. We'll close the work session on Senate Bill 149. Senator Metzger, you...
Mr. Chair, I'm glad Senator Beyer is here. We were moving rather quickly, and I felt bad, so I can leave for a little bit.
Senator Metzger has another obligation. He'll be back in about 20 minutes, but I think we're probably...
I think he might be done, but...
He could very well be.
And, Mr. Chair, Senator Beyer would like to reopen the record on Senate Bill 148 and cast a vote.
Okay, very good. Is there any objection? I see none. We'll reopen the vote on Senate Bill 148 and allow Senator Beyer to cast a vote.
Aye.
So the vote does not change the outcome, and it is a unanimous vote, then we will continue 148 under the consent agenda.
Thank you.
We'll open a public hearing on Senate Bill 150, and we have the same two notorious witnesses here. So, Dennis, would you like to give a quick summary of this?
The Senate Bill 150 is also presented by the Oregon Board of Accountancy. No revenue impact, nor expenditure impact. This bill provides specific authority for the board to impose a late fee for firms that file a renewal application after the renewal deadline.
Okay, good. Alan, you want to reintroduce yourself for the record, please?
Alan Steiger. I am a CPA. I'm chairman of the Oregon Board of Accountancy, and I reside in Washington County.
Okay, well, proceed with your testimony.
In 1973, which was before my time on the Board of Accountancy, the board implemented an administrative rule imposing a late fee for firms that submit renewal registrations after the deadline. This rule has been maintained in administrative rules and been enforced without interruption for these last 30 years. ORS 673-150 provides a late fee for individual licensees who fail to file renewal applications on time, but there is no specific authority for a similar fee against registered firms. Public accounting firms have the same responsibility as individual licensees to submit timely and accurate renewal applications, and the board has an equal obligation to treat all licensees equally and to assure that public accounting firms continue to be qualified to offer services to the public. It is the renewal application that provides the board with an opportunity to confirm that each public accounting firm is in compliance with the requirements and privileges of registration as a public accounting firm. The board wishes to correct the discrepancy between the administrative rules and the statute by amending ORS 673-150 to allow us the statutory authority that we've been imposing.
Okay, thank you. Any questions of the witness? Any other witnesses? Very good. We'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 150. Open up a work session on Senate Bill 150. Any comments from the committee?
We've been doing it this way for 30 years.
Just a few steps. Okay, very good. Well,
move the bill to the floor as a due pass, Mr. Chair.
All right. Senator Beyer moves the bill to the floor of the Senate with a due pass. Any other discussion at this point? Let the record reflect that Senator Metzger has been excused. And please call the roll.
Aye.
Vice Chair Walker?
Aye.
Chair
Nelson? Aye. Having received a unanimous ballot from the committee members present, we would move to the floor under the consent agenda. Close the public hearing on Senate Bill 150.
Senator Beyer.
I guess in the only way that Judy is going to require us to please carry, I don't think you did, you didn't do this.
They didn't have this in the House. I was in the House.
It was implemented last session in the House. That's correct. The reading clerk read the bill, and we voted on it. But the Senate would prefer that a senator read the bill. And then the clerk will read the bill, the senator will present it, and then we vote.
Okay.
I didn't know that it would save that much more time
I didn't hear that, so that's something new to me today. All right, we'll open up the public hearing on Senate Bill 151. And Dennis, would you like to just explain a little bit of what 151 is all about?
Senate Bill 151 provides clear notice regarding the calculation of civil penalties for violations that have a continuing impact on the public. This 2003 Act applies to violations that occur prior to, on, or after the effective date of the 2003 Act. No revenue or fiscal impact. The fiscal impact statement, indeterminate. And if the chair would like me to read that or not.
Indeterminate. Okay. Alan, please introduce yourself again for the record.
Mr. Chairman, Alan Sager, CPA, Chairman, Oregon Board of Accountancy. The Board of Accountancy is authorized to assess a maximum civil penalty of $5,000 for each violation of public accounting laws and rules. Certain of these violations, however, have continuing characteristics that compel consideration of continuing harm to the public that may occur because of the violation. If a licensee or a licensee who has had his license suspended or revoked continues to advertise the practice of public accountancy, the question that has arisen is that one violation or is that multiple violations? He does it in a paper where he has the opportunity to remove the ad each week or each day, or if it's a permanent sign. So ORS 673-400 provides any violation, and we believe the language authorizes the assessment of a civil penalty for each day that a violation continues, thereby counting each day as a separate offense. We have not exercised that authority, and we are concerned that licensees may not interpret that the same way that the board has. So what we're asking for really is the ability to be specific in our language, that we have the ability to impose it so that we can get the licensee's attention, can get them to take corrective action on a more prompt basis than perhaps we have been able to do in the past. It also allows us to protect the public, to provide fair treatment for licensees. It would be inconsistent for the board to assess a licensee $5,000 if the violation happened on one day versus a licensee who it spread over 6 months and we assessed him $5,000. It's a fairness issue, we think, as well there. But primarily, what we're looking for is the ability to get people's attention.
This includes both certified public accountants and licensed accountants.
Licensees include certified public accountants and public accountants.
And registered firms.
I was just wondering when you...
Firms, yes.
Okay, and what?
And accounting firms.
And accounting firms. I just know the statutes go from 673.1010 to 673.457, and that's about 5 or 6 pages of statutes, and I just, want to make sure that... how encompassing this is, what's going to be the practical effect of it, and you feel that it's going to give you the power to go to a person and say, like, we can do this per day, and that's going to get their attention.
Yes, it will be definitely a deterrent, and we'll act allow us to get the leverage, if you will, to make them act sooner than they might otherwise.
How would you do that in practicality? I mean, would you go to them and just say, you know, yeah, you're in violation, and would you give them a warning first and then try and let them cure the problem? Is that how that would work?
It depends a little bit on the nature of their violation. If they're holding out while their license is revoked or suspended, no, there's no warning. It's a strict violation. If it's something that we do not feel there is harm to the public at large, we will try to work with the licensee.
Okay. Any further questions? Any further testimony? Carol, do you want to?
If I may, Mr. Chair, thank you. I will clarify your question about the statute. ORS Chapter 673 is divided in providing authority for the accountancy board and for the tax examiners or the tax board, licensed tax consultants. And that number that you were citing to us is where the break is. But these provisions, or the authority that's in the provisions for the accountancy board, are always encompass the numbers of the statute that apply only to the tax board. So that's why you see that clarification. The language that is currently in 673-400, I think, can very easily be interpreted to already include the authority to consider each day as a separate offense, and therefore subject to a $5,000 maximum civil penalty, keeping in mind that that is the maximum. That is not necessarily what the board would assess. But the board would like to have clear notice to its licensees in statute so that they are not surprised should something like this come up. I think one of the most clear examples of this violation is, as Mr. Steiger said, a sign. You post a sign outside of your office, and that sign continues to be there. And each time a car drives past and an individual inside of that car is influenced perhaps to engage that CPA because of something on the sign that was misleading or deceptive or advertising that he was a CPA when he was not, that would be a continuing violation. So if you have a licensee who's had a sign, say, posted for a week, and another licensee whose complaint proves that the sign has been up there for 9 months, you know, to be consistent and fair between them, are you going to impose the same fine for the individual who's had a sign posted for a week as you are against the individual who's had a sign posted for 9 months? So as to provide a measure of uniformity for the board in calculating civil penalties, but more importantly, to give clear direction to licensees that this is a potential and they should be aware of it.
Yeah, Section 2, this is retroactive. Do you currently have people out there that you are wanting to use this against? Is that why you're asking for it to be retroactive?
If I may, Mr. Chair, Senator Byron, no, we do not. The purpose of having that retroactive is so that every time we have an investigation, we don't have to look back and see now when did this violation occur, because we'll be investigating it or looking at it after the effective date of the statute. At that point, we didn't want to have to look back and say that, oh, yeah, well, that occurred before the effective date, therefore we're not going to impose this penalty. And that's because the board believes they do already have the authority to assess this penalty in this fashion if they chose to. They have not chosen to do so.
Mr. Chair, is there anybody else who's going to testify himself?
Mr. Chair, Senator Breyer, if I may, the OSCPA is present at all of our board meetings. We work with them very closely on our proposed legislation. They've been aware of this. They've not expressed to us any concern about this bill or the retroactive clause. However, I may say that the retroactive clause is probably not an important part of the bill. It is more important that the board that the language be clarified in statute than to have it applied retroactively.
Sure, another question?
Sure.
Obviously, these statutes have been here a while. We did some work on the accountancy statutes last session, not very much. Session before, we did a little bit of some issues. Going back to 97, that's when I chaired the business committee all for the last three sessions. There's been minor tweakings. There's been a recent change in the board makeup, the administration thereof, because I see this is the fourth bill, but
you seem to be saying we already do it this way, now we think the statutes should conform to how we are doing it. Well, that's backwards. You're supposed to do what the statutes say. We're not supposed to change statutes to what you're doing. So has there been something changed in the last 24 months that all of a sudden you are now doing it this way when you weren't doing it this way 2 years ago when we had these, you know, we were working on accountancy issues at that time? And
Mr. Chair?
6 years ago?
Mr. Chair, Senator Beyer? I'll respond to that question. I'm the administrator for the board, and I have just finished my third year. So I think a change of administration sometimes takes a new look or a different look at statutes or authorities or the way things are done. Some of these have been discovered as I've been performing my job. It is not that the board is doing things differently now than it did then before. I think it is rather that we are finding that there may be some discrepancy between the practice and what is specifically authorized in statute.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Beyer, I would second what Ms. Reeves has said, is that she does have the eye of an eagle in reviewing the ORS and the administrative rules. We did have a fairly substantial rewrite of the ORS with the Uniform Accountancy Act revisions which were made. And during that time period, some of the language that we had before that matched the administrative rules may have been changed. So I think that is part of the problem that we have with trying to mesh the two together.
Well, Mr. Chair, I understand that, you know, times change. I'll support the bill. I guess caution, not just your agency, but all of them, that, you know, you don't. It disturbs me when agencies come before the legislature and make a statement, this is how we do it. Now the statute should reflect that. That's not the way our system is designed to work. Our system is designed to work that agencies do what the statutes say, and if you think there need to be changes or you want to do something different, come and get a statute change first, then you start doing it that way. And there seems to be the reverse is what's happening, and I would caution you and all agencies that your job is to follow the law, our job is to make the law. And this is the statement.
Thank you, Senator. Any other comments? Any other witnesses? Close the public hearing on Senate Bill 151 and open up work session on Senate Bill 151. Any comments from the committee members?
Senator Beyer made his comments already.
Okay, anything else? The chair would move the Senate Bill 151 to the floor with a due pass recommendation and subject to potential consent agenda. Any discussion on the motion? If not, clerk will call the roll.
Senator Beyer?
Aye.
Senator Metzger?
Aye.
Vice Chair Walker?
Aye.
Chair Nelson?
Aye. And please note for the record that Senator Metzger has been excused. This motion is carried, and Senate Bill 151 be sent to the floor of the Senate. The due pass recommendation and a consent agenda, and Senator Nelson will carry it. Hearing is closed. Work session is closed on Senate Bill 151. We'll open up the public hearing on Senate Bill 152. And Dennis, would you give us a brief summary?
Senate Bill 152, introduced by the Oregon Board of Accountancy, authorizes the Oregon Board of Accountancy at its discretion to assess the costs of disciplinary proceedings against a losing party. No revenue impact, and the fiscal impact is indeterminate.
Okay, fine, Alan. Can you introduce
yourself? Mr. Chairman, Madam Vice Chair, Senator Beyer. I'm Alan Steiger. I'm a CPA, and I'm chairman of the Oregon Board of Accountancy. Senate Bill 152 relates to ORS Chapter 673, which does not currently provide authority for the Board of Accountancy to recover costs of disciplinary actions. We have experienced an increasing number of complaints that require investigation, and with the greater frequency, the issues presented are more complex issues that may require legal assistance and testimony of expert witnesses. You're all aware of reports on the national level that have focused public attention on the integrity of the profession, and the board is committed to its mission to protect the public through its enforcement of public accounting laws. It is imperative that these laws be enforced equitably against all violations, whether an action may be concluded with minimal costs or whether the action requires an extensive expenditure of board resources. The board is concerned that a single investigation could deplete board resources and reduce the number of investigations conducted, thereby undermining the board's responsibility to preserve public safety. The board has already been required to expend funds in defense of disciplinary action that exceed the amount of civil penalty assessed. The board believes the authority to assess costs will have a deterrent effect and encourage the settlement of cases, thereby saving the cost of extended disciplinary action to both sides.
Okay, any questions?
Yeah,
questions. Senator Walker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Steiger, from what you're telling me now, the board currently pays all the costs associated with a disciplinary hearing. Is that true?
Mr. Chairman, Madam Vice Chair, that's correct.
And those, your fees are funded by fees that licensees pay into the board to be a licensee? Is that where all your money comes from?
Yes. And the minimal amount from the civil penalties we assess. But.
And then prior to coming here today, you've been able to meet all those expenses with the fees, but now you're saying that you don't think that you can do that, and that's why you want to increase assess costs.
Mr. Chairman, Madam Vice Chair, we are concerned. We do not anticipate that we'll be exercising this authority, but when we have a minor civil penalty and the licensee chooses to take it to hearings and then to appeal on what we do not consider to be sound basis, we feel this will perhaps deter them from incurring expenses that we have to pay through the Attorney General's office, the hearing officer, and so on. Hope it never happens, but if we were to have a Baptist Foundation or an Enron or one of those situations, you know.
I think the cost might go up a bit.
Just a tad. The Arizona Board of Accountancy recovered $250,000 on the Baptist Foundation investigation.
Well, and I think this satisfies Senator Byers' requirement that you come ask first and do later. So. I think we're doing our end.
Any other comment? Any other witnesses would like to speak on this bill? We'll close a public hearing on Senate Bill 152. Open up work session on Senate Bill 152. Comments from the committee?
Well, Mr. Chair, I just wanted to say that I think this is appropriate, and costs should be assessed against parties, and I would encourage settlement of frivolous cases.
And this pays.
Loser pays.
Do you want to move this? You want to move this to the floor there?
Yes, and I. Oh yes, I would be happy to. I'd be delighted to move Senate Bill 152 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
All right. The motion is made to move Senate Bill 152 to the floor with a due pass recommendation, subject to the. What are we talking about? What's that?
Consent calendar.
Consent calendar. All right. Clerk, call the roll.
Senator Byer.
Aye.
Senator Metzger, Vice Chair Walker.
Aye.
Chair Nelson.
Aye. And let the record reflect that Senator Metzger has been excused. The motion, receiving unanimous consent from all the members present, will be sent to the floor of the Senate with a due pass recommendation under the consent calendar. Work session is closed on Senate Bill 152.
Do you want me to carry that?
And yes, Senator Walker to carry that, please. Work section is closed. For the agenda for the rest of it, we will not be meeting on Friday. Monday, we potentially have distillers distribution bill that we may come out. I think it's Senate Bill 85. Is everybody in agreement amongst the parties there? We have also been asked. Thank you very much, folks, for coming and testifying. We appreciate it very much. We also have a request by a person to have the committee introduce three bills and related honorable bills. Monty King has asked that the committee introduce bills So we'll get some information to you. We may very well set those for discussion on Monday. Other than that, we're still trying. We're looking for some of the bills, and if we find some bills that are, you know, don't have a lot of controversy, we'll try and move them through. But we'll continue to develop the agenda as Dennis gets involved. And so he still doesn't have a telephone number, but he does have an office and a computer. So
it sounds like you get work done.
Yeah. Don't feel bad. We've got one computer. Yeah. We're still waiting on the other one.
Dennis is in room 333. Is that correct?
Right.
And he's available to, you know, talk with everybody. So if you have some issues or questions, talk to myself or Vice Chair Walker, or to talk with Dennis. And of course, Roger's had a lot of experience in business committee, being chair for three sessions prior, so we're very fortunate. Okay, so that's, I think, the agenda for the day, unless there's any further discussion from the committee that you'd like to bring up. Any questions?
No, I thought our witnesses were great today. Very efficient.
Okay, very good. We will declare the public meeting for the Senate Committee on Business and Labor adjourned. Thank you very much. We really do.